And please pray with me. May the words of my heart and the meditation of all of ourselves be acceptable in your sight, for you, Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. We were stuck in gridlock traffic jam on the Garden State Parkway when my passenger, the best man in my brother's wedding, mused aloud, "Is life about the destination or about the journey? What do you think?" And he paused for a moment and then answered his own question, "'Cause this journey's gonna make a heck of a story tomorrow." I was so glad Mike had gotten into my car to ride with me from the rehearsal in the church to the dinner that night before my brother and sister-in-law got married. So that's the end of the story. They did get married. He was the best man. I was the maid of honor. And Mike is one of those funny kind of guys, fun and funny, who manages to say just the right thing at just the right moment to help you laugh at the absurdities of life. And he certainly was helpful to me and another bridesmaid in that car that night as we were stuck in a traffic jam helplessly through no fault of our own. And his commentary was very, so that we could laugh at what we were stuck in. But his commentary didn't at all ease my brother's anxieties. He was the reason we were in the traffic jam. And it didn't help my sister-in-law in the car behind us, or my future sister-in-law in the car behind us, as she fretted and worried about the out-of-town guests and families who had gathered for the rehearsal dinner, and we were going to be late. This was 1999. Cell phones were not a reality, but she could be heard and made herself heard to not just us in the car ahead of her, but the car in front of us with my brother and the two lanes of traffic on either side, who knew that this woman was upset, angry about something, and probably hangry as well. It was a hot and sultry summer Friday evening, and that story did make great press the next day. It also became an instant classic that my brother and sister-in-law have learned to laugh about over the years. There is much to be said about making the most of the journey and not being so focused on the destination. I have learned that over the years. It can relieve much of the stress that comes with travel. Can I get an amen from the Stassen family? I've learned that there is something about taking grace along the journey. And maybe some of those 200,000 passengers whose travel plans were disrupted this week at the closure of Heathrow Airport, I'm hoping and praying that there were a few folks who were able to find grace and humor in the moment, even as aggravation and frustration reigned in the crowds around them. But while I've learned to embrace the idea of looking for the blessings and the unexpected detours and enjoying them on the journey, I can't fully agree with Mike's premise and pit journey against destination. I think it's actually more of a both and situation, that classic third alternative to the either or scenario. It's actually a favorite solution of John Wesley's way to resolve of what it means to sit on the horns of any dilemma that asks us to choose between two seemingly opposed alternatives. In his sermon, The Good Steward, John Wesley unpacks what it means to be human. Those of us, all of us, as the human race, created beings, the pinnacle of God's creation, we are meant to be stewards of all that God has designed and orchestrated as he has made it and set it into being in relationship with one another. He's swift to remind us that we don't own anything, not with any sense of permanence. We might think we do. We might like to think we do. But really, what we are given here in this life is only temporal. And it is in this temporal condition that God has entrusted us with our souls, he writes, our bodies, our possessions, and whatever abilities we have received. Not in order to impress others, but to impress this importance on our hearts. We have comprehension, imagination, memory, will, and affections for things. God has entrusted us with these powers and these abilities to employ them, not according to our own wills, but according to the explicit instructions he has given us to be his stewards of all creation. As we sang earlier, all praise goes to God who reigns above. We are the ones who caretake for things that he has made while we are alive. They are temporal goods, worldly goods, whether they be the things of our food to eat, our clothing to wear, our places to live. God entrusts us with our bodies, these incomparably formed instruments that are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's entrusted us to use our sense of touch, sight, and hearing for his goodness and his glory, not just for our own curiosity, but that we may use those faculties he's given us, that we can in turn steward them and offer them to his goodness and his creation. I mentioned that he has given us places to live. We also know here in this church and in this time, he has given us a place to worship. This church building was given to us practically. If you can double check that history with Reverend Stassen. And we worship here in this place that was stewarded by another congregation before us, and we get to steward it now. We have been gifted with grants to beautify it inside, and it will soon be time for us to think about how we've been thinking about this and making decisions about how we're going to need to steward the exterior of this building. To not just care for it for us, but to care for it for the sake of the neighborhood, and to also demonstrate our stewardship to the world. Our stewardship of this place for the sake of God's kingdom. This is what we've been given our gifts and talents for. God has entrusted things to us so that we can manage them while we have breath, while we have life, while we are developed here on earth, and so that they may remain when we can no longer do this and they can be passed to another generation. We have the opportunity to be stewards of things that are temporal. Our faculties, these imaginations, our memory, our comprehension, they will not be destroyed upon our death. They will not be impaired upon the disintegration of our bodies when we go to dust. On the contrary, we have reason to believe that they will be not only preserved, but unimaginably strengthened. We will be made whole and complete and receive God's healing then in the time to come. But it is now while we have the opportunity to use our faculties, to use our abilities, to care for what God has given to this earth. And that's where I think that both and comes into play at. It's not just about what we can do now, but where are we going? And where we are going helps us shape the journey that we are on now. Jesus shares this in the parable, demonstrating that the rich fool did not have the end in sight. He was only considering his life and his comfort. If the parable were told today, it might be told with the acronym YOLO, you only live once. He didn't have the long view in sight. He was concerned about temporal things for this life only, not what is eternal. And there's a wonderful twist where Paul takes this verse and talks about it as he says to the Corinthians, that we have got this responsibility to hold the end in sight. Because he says in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 32, if the dead were not raised, then we could eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But we need instead what he's saying. We know that the dead are raised. We know that we will live eternally. And so it is our responsibility to do things responsibly, to do things with stewardship. Doesn't mean we can't enjoy, we can't have merriment, but not to the excess and to the place without the destination, the end in sight. We serve an infinitely creative God who all of us live in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit as we seek to live faithful lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. We may not have occupied first century Palestine and had face-to-face encounters during those 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry. So we do ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? When we are created to inhabit very particular lives in a very concrete place and a time that is different from what God had, from what Jesus had and those original disciples. But regardless of where we live, and where and when we are asked to create and care for whatever God has entrusted it with us, we still are called to be stewards of God's creation. Stewards, asking ourselves, what is it that in the end will be asked of us? Probably first, as John Wesley imagines, God is going to ask us, how did you use your life? How were you entrusted with an immortal spirit, with comprehension, imagination, memory, will, and emotions? And how did you complete the directions of how you were to use them? Did you use that comprehension as far as it was capable according to my will? Did you come to know yourself and God? Have you used God's gifts to become familiar with his word? Have you used every increase of your might to increase your knowledge of scripture? Do you use your memory according to God's holy purposes? Those are big questions for us to ask ourselves and to imagine that is maybe part of what our stewardship also entails, not just caring for the things around us, but these eternal faculties that we have. A couple more rhetorical questions that John Wesley would ask. He says, have you used your imagination to think about those things that benefit your soul, that nourish your pursuit of wisdom and holiness? Do you follow my directions with regard to the use of your will? That could be a hard one. I know I don't always live up to it. How often are you completely surrendered out to God? I'm not asking for confession, but I will say for myself that it's not always so easy. what I have that is eternal, to use my memory and imagination, I pray that I do use that well. But I also pray that I try to use the things that are temporal as well to God's goodness and God's glory. Questions that John Wesley imagined, or John Wesley asks us and that we can imagine along with him, is how did you use your food, not primarily as a means for pleasure, but as a means to preserve your health, your body, your strength, your stamina, a healthy instrument for your soul? I certainly know water is better for me to drink than the diet soda that I enjoy to consume. So that is often a question that I will think for myself about where I am going and how I am using my time, my resources for God. Do we, or do you, me, seek your own honor or God's honor? How do we seek to please God? And then he begins to really hit it home where I think it sits for a lot of us Americans. How did you use the important gift of money? Did you refrain from using it to gratify the desires of the flesh, the eye, the pride of life? Did you refrain from wasting it on worthless expenses, which is equal to throwing your money into the sea? Did you refuse to hoard it up in order to leave it behind you, which is the same as burying it in the earth? Or did you use it for others, for the good of my kingdom? All of us will have the opportunity at one point or another, when we reach the end, to answer about how we journeyed. There is no reason why our journey should not be enjoyable as we give ourselves to God. There probably, as we read earlier, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, Lord Jesus. And when they are completely at rest, God will declare, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. Enter into the joy of your master." For both the faithful and the unfaithful steward, the decisions of the righteous judge will be carried out. May, as we go through this life, as we steward our bodies, our faculties, our time, our resources, and our building and its property collectively, may we know and experience God's goodness and joy even on this side of eternity, that we may enter into the fullness of the joy of our Master. May we be good stewards that not only are looking to the end of the journey, but are enjoying the journey as we go along.